Well, we're in this series called Is It Growing? And today's focus is on soil. When Michelle and I opened our orphanage, we had a vision and we thought that we wanted to do is we wanted to have a place, have a yard for the kids to be able to play in. It would be a safe place to play. Most of the people where we lived, the kids did not have that unless it was at school or if you went to a park. But the problem with both of those things, they did not have grass. So we'd go to the park, and the park would have these signs that would say, stay off the grass, and people would just walk over those signs because they wanted to be in the grass, and they would trample the grass down, and really it was just a field of dirt. And so some parks even hired guards to stop people from walking to the grass because they wanted to have that time of just being able to step in grass and experience that. And so Michelle and I, we had a vision that we wanted to have a place with a yard. And we were blessed to rent a yard, or rent a house or a building that had a yard. It was about 30 yards front to back and about 80 yards left to right. And it had the possibility of some great opportunities for the kids to be able to have. We wanted them to have just thick, luscious green grass that they could just have pure enjoyment on. The problem that we faced was the building that we rented had that big yard, but they built the building on a trash dump that people had been throwing trash and dumping trash, broken glass and rocks and all kinds of stuff there. And so when we went there, we saw this yard, but the thing was, when you have vision, you don't just look at the surface, you see past the surface. We didn't see the trash in the yard. What we saw was thick, green, luscious grass. Just like the sower from last week, he looked past the rocky places. He looked past those areas full of thorns, and he saw the potential of what the good soil would be able to produce. So when we got this property, we worked the ground time and time again, removing load after load of trash, and we would remove the broken glass, and we would remove these weeds that you even looked at, and they would scratch you. We'd start rolling them up, and there was one time we actually rolled up a pile of weeds all from the same root that was this high. And we would work those, we would remove, I can't tell you how many rocks we would remove of just loads of moving all of that out. We didn't just move it around the property, we removed it out. And then we brought in good, pure dirt. And then we worked it with fertilizer, we worked it with grass seed, to where one day, after many years, a few years of very hard work, there was good soil producing what we saw in our vision. Thick, luscious grass where the kids would just have picnics on, and they would sit underneath a shade tree, and they would play soccer and volleyball and football and all the other balls that you would play, and they would invite their friends over. They'd have campouts there. It was just pure enjoyment. But it took a lot of hard work. And you know, the crazy thing is that when the seasons would change, we'd have to go and walk the ground. And for some reason, when the seasons would change, we'd find glass and we'd find rocks that worked up from the depths of the dirt. And the weeds, they kept coming up and growing. And we would tell the kids, stop cutting them off at the ground level. You got to get down into the root system and pull it out from the roots. You got to get to the root of the problem sometimes to really help the issue. If you just keep cutting it off, all it does is grow the root system to be stronger. And so we'd work this ground and work this ground so that we would stay the good soil. So year after year, we would just keep working this, not allowing those past rocks, not allowing those past weeds, that past trash to take over our soil. Well, I'm going to let you know that took a lot of commitment, and Grace Church is just as committed to leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't want people just to have a relationship with Jesus. We don't want to just have that good soil. We want it to keep that soil good. We want that relationship to grow. Today, as we get into this parable of the sower, we're going to be taking a look from the perspective of the soil, and I believe that it's talking about the condition of our heart. And I praise God that when we ask him to be our Lord and Savior, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that's not just on the outside, but that washes us from the inside out, and we are born again into his own likeness. We're out of Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, and then I'm going to read down Mark chapter 4, 14 through 20. Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Go down to verse 14 to 20. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on the good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Father God, I pray that you check our hearts and check the soil of our hearts. And I ask, God, that it is tender, ready to receive this word, accept this word, and apply this word. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask the question, how many of you would like to have a heart that is the good soil? Everybody raises their hand. I don't know if I would ask, does anybody want a hardened heart full of thorns? No one? Oh, okay, that's good to hear. Why? Because we came in here with the hope that we are going to leave different than as we entered in. There are four different places listed here in this parable that we're going to be looking at. One is the rocky places, then you have the pathways, then you have the places that are full of thorns, and then you have the good places. And a lot of the times, I think what happens is that we think that those places are like stepping stones, and that you move from the pathways to the rocky places to the thorn places, and then you move to the good soil. And I want us to just take a look at this, because I think we think that we go from people who just hear the word and let it go in their ear and one out the other, and then we move to people who receive the word with joy but have no roots. Then we move from that to people who allow the hurts and the pains of this world to choke out the goodness of the word, and then we move to be people who not only accept the word but does what it says. But the point I'm going to make today, I'm actually going to talk about all of these things in reverse order, because I wonder, can I, and I will tell you, I know I have been all four of those types of people in just one day. Can we be all four of those types of soils in just one day? We start their day off being the good soil, but by the time we go back to bed, our hearts have been so hardened and full of thorns that we go back to bed just angry. Somehow that old self, those past hurts, those past pains, they've crept back up to the surface like that glass and the rocks and the weeds that we removed and worked so hard to get rid of. So let's look at the different places. The first one is the good soil. What is the good soil? When we read out of Mark, it said that it is those who hear the word, accept the word, and then they do something with that word. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says, therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. When we got that glass and we got the rock and we got the weeds, we took it and we removed it. We didn't just move it around the yard. We took it and we removed it so we could bring in something good. So he's saying, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I want everyone to say, do what it says.
Do what it says.
So then you got to ask, what does it say to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. It says to not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed into his own likeness. I think a lot of the times we focus on the process of turning those rocky places and turning those places that are full of thorns into that good soil, and then we make it into the good soil and we think, oh, cool, I made it. We have a relationship with Jesus and we say, good, we've made it. And then we just walk away. And then we come back and all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute, how did that good soil turn back to a place full of thorns and a place that is rocky and hard? That's what I'm saying. It's not just having a relationship with Jesus. Yeah, that's what starts it. But is that relationship growing? Are we working on it? Are we willing to be dedicated to work that good soil and keeping it the way that it is supposed to be? If you've been following the SOAP Bible study in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 through 21, we read the whole book of Galatians since the last time we met. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. We just sang that song, right? The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do we keep our hearts tender like the good soil? Well, according to that scripture, is we put to death our sinful self. We get born again in the likeness of Christ. This verse says that we have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. We have to put to death that sinful self, and when we make a 180, we stay focused. We don't make a 360. We put to death that self and say, no, it's gone. I'm not going back that way anymore. I burnt that bridge. The only way I have is to go forward. You know that it's actually human nature for us to worry? It's human nature for us to fear. It's human nature for us to be doubtful and to be unforgiving and to be hateful and to be jealous and frustrated and full of bitterness. It actually comes really easy. You actually have to work really hard not to be those kind of things, right? It takes hard work not to be those things. They all come naturally to us. So to have that good soil, it takes a lot of work. Mark chapter 4 says we need to accept the word and obey it. We have to do the work to read the word. We have to do the work to get the word, to accept that word, and then to apply what that word is saying. It's not always easy. So how does the good soil turn hard? You know, if you think about it, the Bible says that we were created in his own image. In the likeness of God, he created us. So that's good soil. He's good soil, right? Can everyone say amen that God is good soil? So that means if we were created in his image, then we should also be good soil. So how does it get changed? You know, I was driving by this field, this farmer's field, and I saw a tree, and it fell over. And the farmer just drove around that tree. And I was like, man, why would you do that? Like, why would you take us? Like, why would you take care of that? Like, and it wasn't like it was just, oh, I'll come back to it. That there were weeds that were growing taller than the tree that had fallen over. He just went around it, and it just kind of blew my mind, thinking like that it has to cost you more time and more energy to drive around the tree than actually take the tree and take care of it. And Proverbs 24, verse 30 through 34. Addresses that very situation. He says, I went past this field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. I hope that every one of us here today applies our heart of what we have observed today, and we learn a lesson. A little sleep, a little slumber, A little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. So what happens? I think what happens is we get lazy. Or we get so busy that we're too tired, and we get tired, and we're not able to work those things, and we allow bad things to be introduced into our field. We didn't just go to the orphanage and thought, okay, for the next 3 years, we're just going to work this field, and then once it's all set up, that's when we'll bring the kids in. We were tired. We were exhausted. We were training staff. We were training kids. We were dealing with government, and we were going out and working this field. We were tired. It had been very easy for us to be able to say, you know what, just let the yard be whatever it's going to be. But we couldn't get too busy. We couldn't get too tired. We had to go out and stay working on that yard because we wanted it to stay the good soil. And what happens if where we don't work the field, weeds will start growing out from the ground, which introduces our second point, thorns in the soil. You see, I think what happens is, like my kids would do, is they'd see the weed, and it was just easier for them just to snap it off at the ground. And what we do is they come up, and you cut it off, and it grows back up, and you cut it off, and it keeps going up. But when we're cutting off the top at the surface, what we're not seeing is that the root of the weed is getting thicker, and it's branching out and branching out. And it actually takes a lot of work to get down on your knees, and you're going in, and you're getting your hands all dirty, and you're working, and you're trying to get that weed out without destroying all of the ground. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." One version says, "My knees are down before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name." Can we praise God that our name comes from God the Father? "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ." You got to be rooted to understand all of that. And so that we know that his love will surpass the knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And if we look from last week, it's not just that we get filled, but we become overflowing so that it goes to the people that are around us and our family and to our community. But if you read this parable, it says that the thorns choked out the word of God. How can that be? You know you need to forgive, but hating the person has just become easier. You know you need to tell the truth, but lying has become second nature to you. And so this lie has to be spoken to protect that lie, or everyone's going to know that I'm a liar. You know that you should not look, and maybe should I even say want people to look at you? But you like what looking does to you, and you like how it makes you feel when people are looking at you. The question I'd have to ask with that one is, if we were created in God's image, and if we're image bearers of God, and we're looking at people and wanting people to look at us, are we doing it in the same way as we look towards God and want God to look at us? When we look in the mirror in the morning, are we saying, "Man, God, I hope I make you happy"? Or are we saying, "I really hope to go after the world"? You know you should not get drunk or do drugs, but facing the pain has just been too hard. And before you know it, you become an addict. Michelle and I ministered to the homeless community, and I maybe have shared this before. I was witnessing to a guy, and I asked, "How can I pray for you?" And he said, "Man, Pastor, every time I want to quit drinking, I start doing drugs, and then I stop doing drugs, and I start drinking." And I said, "You know what your problem is? Here's your problem. It's not the drugs, and it's not the drinking. The problem is you're afraid to face the pain of the hurt that's been in your past. And so when you remove the alcohol, there's a hole that needs to be filled. And you've been using other things to try to numb the pain, but you just got to face the pain and ask Jesus to come into your life and to break the chains of these things. You need to ask Jesus to fill the gap and fill the void, that it's the love of God, the hope of God, the joy of God, and the peace of God that will fill that hole. We dug up the glass, we dug up the rocks, we dug up the weeds, and we removed them. And we brought back the good soil that was fertilized and had seed, the good seed, and we planted it back in the hole. If we don't remove those thorns, what ends up happening is we walk around them and because we're afraid that we're going to get stuck by them, and then we make pathways. Just like that tractor was driving around the tree, he was making a new pathway around the tree. The third point is pathways in the soil. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It is only by the name of Jesus Christ that we are saved." The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we are saved. If we try to go to heaven in any other way than Jesus, we're making pathways. And Jesus gives us a warning about that in Matthew 7. He says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. And its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life, which is heaven, is very narrow. And the road is difficult." Mark chapter 4 said, "Because of the word, we are persecuted and have trouble." It's a very, you got to be mistaken if you think just because you believe in Jesus Christ, everything's just going to be smooth sailing. Those are the people who accepted the word with joy but had no root. All of a sudden, things started happening. They say, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. Jesus is supposed to take care of all those things. No, you see, repentance, that can be hard work. It requires us to humble ourselves and to admit that what? I'm not good. That sometimes can be pretty hard to do. It's hard work to remove those thorns. That's why we need help. It was Michelle and I that worked that ground. We got our kids to come out and work that ground. We taught the staff how to go out and work the ground. There were people that were seeing it, and they came in, and they said, "How can we help?" And we said, "This is how you do. We can work the ground. You don't need to be doing it all by yourself. You need to get around people who will help you remove those rocky places, remove those thorns. We end up walking around those thorns, and you know what we actually do if we don't pull them out? We allow them to get bigger and stronger, and we give a place for the birds to live in. And then when the seed is scattered, the birds are using the very thorns that we would not remove to go and snatch up the seed. So where is that in our life? We have these hurts, we have these pains, and instead of dealing with them, instead of just removing them, instead of asking for forgiveness, instead of dealing with that, Satan comes in and lives in those thorns. And when the word comes out and says, "You need to forgive," he snatches it up and says, "Well, they won't even accept that forgiveness from you. Look what they did." And it snatches up the word. We got to remove those thorns. This is why we got to get them down from the root. And I think what happens is those thorns, they stick us. Those thorns, they offend us. So we walk around them, we're avoiding them, we're trying to ignore them. And then what we end up doing, we say, "You know what? I'm going to go to another church." Only to walk in there to realize it's people in that church too. And the thorns that you left, that you thought you left, they were hanging on to, and you just brought it in to that church. Pull it out from the root. Because what happens, we don't realize it, we're trampling down the good soil and we're turning it into rocky places. Number 4 is the rocky soil. Have you ever felt trampled on? I have. Like someone just walked all over you, beat you down, and you realize that those words they spoke, that the way they treated you has caused you to become hardened, it's caused you to become bitter, it's caused you to become angry, and it maybe even has caused you to be depressed. You know, the interesting thing is God gives us the new joy each and every morning, and the Bible says the joy that God gives us, it's not lacking anything, it is complete. But yet all of a sudden, you're thinking, how did I wake up in the newness of his joy and the newness of his compassion, the newness of his joy, but now I'm at the same bed in the same place that I was praising God for that newness, but I'm actually going to bed defeated, worn out, bitter, and angry. Well, the writer of Hebrews kind of addresses this, and I'm going to read the whole book of Hebrews chapter 3, not the whole book of Hebrews, but the whole book of chapter 3. So chapter 3, not book of 3. Hebrews 3, 1 through 19. Thank God for second service. I can choose which one. Therefore, my holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, I thank you, my holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom he acknowledged as our apostle and high priest. Stop focusing on what others say. Stop allowing others' offenses to own you, but fix our eyes upon Jesus. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house. Can we praise God that Jesus Christ reigns over us? If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory, which is in Jesus Christ. So as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as your ancestors tested and tried me, talking about God, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with the generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. They're making new pathways. They're walking around those thorns. They're allowing the soil to turn to rocky places, and they're allowing all of that to rain instead of the word of God. So I declared an oath, and my anger shall never enter my rest. See to it, my brothers and my sisters, that none of you, see to it that I don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is why I would encourage you to get involved in life groups. Get involved in our church. Don't just come here on Sunday and then leave and expecting a big change. Get involved so that daily we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Verse 14, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original convictions firmly to the very end. And has just been said today, if you hear my voice, and that voice is calling us to repent and be saved, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those that Moses led out of Egypt? Now, isn't that kind of interesting? That sounds like those are the people that were along the pathways. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? Those sounds like the people in the rocky places. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest if not to those who disobeyed. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. And I believe that's talking about those places full of thorns that are choking out the word of God. So today is a day to get our soil of our heart right for the planting. I'm gonna give you an opportunity, and I'd like for you to come up, go both knees down if you're able to, get at the altar. It's an amazing thing, as I'm really glad that the youth are here, because I said this to them. We prayed over these altars. We pray a lot, the staff, the leadership team, and I told them, you know what these altars can do? They can hold the weight. They can hold the weight of your tears. They can hold the weight of the trash, of the rocks, of the broken glass, the brokenness, the burdens. This can hold the weight. Are you going to be able to come up here and give it? So I want to give you this opportunity that you come up if you'd like. We don't want to work a field that's all by ourselves. We need people. I'm going to have the prayer partners come up. As they stand up here, if you feel that you need someone to help remove some of those things, that's what we're up here for. We're not judging you. We're not counseling you. We're agreeing with you in prayer. Or maybe you just want to come up and just kneel and just pray privately. Maybe people are going to come by and lay hands on you. It's just they're saying, hey, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you with your prayer. Maybe you can't get up and move as easily and you like prayer. You just want to raise your hand and people will see that. The ushers will see that and they'll pray for you. But I they're going to sing a song, and I'd like for you to allow the response of this message. The good soil was what? They heard the word and they accepted that word, and then they put it into practice. So if you are feeling led today, I'd like for you to, everyone to please stand. Prayer partners, if you please come. Start searching our hearts. And I want you to come up. And I want you to lay all the burdens, lay all the hurts, lay all the things that are causing our good soil of the heart to become hardened and full of thorns. You can come up, you can kneel, surrender, you can ask for prayer, or you can just raise your hand. I'm going to pray afterwards a blessing over us. I feel a word from God to give to everybody. Please don't use this time to think that you can just leave. You'll leave the blessing. But search your heart. Leave here different than you came in.
Thanks for watching this message today at graceweb.tv. If you're looking for previous messages or message series, you can find them by clicking the archive link on the message page of our website. If you need to connect with us, send us an email at gracecentral@graceweb.tv or send us an online connect card, which you'll find in the online forms page of the website. If you'd like to support the church financially, you can do so by clicking the Give button, or you can text the word Give to 618-414-4220. Thank you again for being a part of Grace Church.